Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll get to the Texans here in just a second. Boy, Seth, they're showing the highlights of the Yankees game in our studio here from last night. For those who missed it, the Yankees came back 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth, and they beat the Pirates 9-8. They were down 8-4 going into the bottom of the ninth. Aaron Judge got the rally kind of kicked off with his 60th home run of the season. It was a solo home run. And then they hit Giancarlo Stanton hits a grand slam a few batters later, and the Yankees win the game. They show the highlight of Judge's home run. He hits this thing into the left field bleachers, and it was like watching somebody kick an ant pile, watching these Yankee fans rummaging for the ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ball lands. Well, I mean, it's and God forbid the 61st one lands in a group of drunk Yankee fans in the ninth inning of a game. You know, like it's like he hit $50,000 or whatever the price is on a ball like that into the bleachers. Watching these people climb over each other to get the ball is, as long as I'm not in it, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, at that point, too, I wonder what the ratio is on even actual percentage of either Yankees or Pirates fans versus professional ball snaggers. That's probably where it gets really rough. Remember that guy in the bodysuit that was stealing balls away from little kids a few weeks ago? That guy's probably out there.
The dude with the hipster hat?
Yeah. I had a theory about that. It was – and I can't – somebody texted in 7135.
That was in Kansas City. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Sean. Yeah. But I mean, it was for for a specific player that hit the home run ball.
It was Soto.
That's right. It was Juan Soto's ball. So that it might be theoretically worth a good chunk of money.
Right.
I think that guy was dressed distinctively so that he could authenticate the ball, because apparently he'd been telling people in the stands that he was a pro at this. He was telling them to stay away from the railing, or there's no telling what might happen. Like, dude, he was out there all weekend. So I think by being dressed distinctively and having like that body tight suit and that hat on, he'd be able to show that he was the one that caught the ball, and that's the one he's selling on eBay.
I know nothing about that business, that whole ecosystem of memorabilia and authentication and things like that. It might be smart, I guess. You know, that sounds like it. That sounds like it makes sense to me. You know, if you're trying to get $100,000 for a ball or whatever.
Is that job any more ridiculous than what you and I do, Sean?
No. I throw zero shade at this person. None.
He's out there actually getting some physical activity in the sun,
us.
You know,
getting
his vitamin D. Not vitamin D deficient. So somehow you and I spend all this time in Houston and are vitamin D deficient, most likely.
Yeah.
Because we sit in a studio talking into a microphone. Well, that guy's out there beating up little kids. Like any American should.
Right.
Teaching some character.
No, we're in a studio talking about
won't.
Him. That's
yeah.
Right.
That's you right. Go full Ted Bundy on him. That's right.
Indeed.
No, don't do, not on the kids. Yeah. That's, you know, on your, maybe on another adult.
That was a hotkey, by the way. That, I mean, that sounds so clear that, anyways.
I was trying to say go full Al Bundy. Ted Bundy came out.
Ted Bundy.
I can't remember what the situation was, but it was appropriate.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. Just reported by Aaron Wilson, Jimmy Morrissey elevated to the 53-man roster. So I bring that up because we just got done talking about Justin Britt getting put on the reserve non-football illness list. Obviously, Scott Quisenberry is going to be the starting center now for the time being, for the foreseeable future. So Jimmy Morrissey, backup center who started a few games last year when Justin Britt was hurt, is now part of the 53-man roster. Little news so, item.
Morrissey, who was – I think he went to the high school where
Chris Myers.
Chris Myers is coaching
yep.
in New Jersey. So we'll have to – I remember because Chris Myers texted me to inquire about him after the first game he was in. And I just happened to be, like, editing a video, and I sent him immediately a pretty rough video for Jim Morrissey.
And then I was on that text. Chris was very enthusiastic, especially because Chris played center here. So it was almost like like a Rocky Balboa passing the baton to Apollo Creed's son kind of thing, you know?
So Chris was like, so how'd my guy Morrissey do? And within 3 seconds, I sent him a little gif of Morrissey getting truck-sticked by some dude.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. LOL. But it was, we'll see. Hopefully
he was a rookie
we don't
last year.
Hopefully we don't see Morrissey have to play it all that much. Kenyon Green... Yeah, that's funny. These Pro Football Focus grades, I've always been skeptical, but I've gotten more and more skeptical from game to game. When you look at some of the grades, like Kenyon Green I thought he played better than his Pro Football Focus grade was. And the NFL All-22 was not out for the Texans as of last night, despite guaranteeing 24 to 48 hours after the game is over.
Don't get us started on that, yeah.
Yeah, as I told you, NFL.com has no way of reaching customer service. They won't give you an email or anything to actually tell for you to tell them that you're having a miserable experience. That's what they do year after year. So I'm looking forward to going and watching the All-22 and seeing, you know, exactly how Kenyon Green did. But I think that the arrow's pointed up for Kenyon Green. And
yeah.
I think that Quisenberry was better in a lot of respects than current Justin Britt, you know, Justin Britt who's banged up.
No doubt.
So, and obviously Quisenberry, you know, still has upside to go. So I think that I feel better about this rushing attack after last week because of the way Damian Pierce played. And I especially feel better after watching the Bears run defense, which is just atrocious.
Oh, Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones ran through them like, he was hot knife.
They looked
butter.
Like the Texans run defense.
They did.
It's almost the same thing. Kind of undersized guys, missing tackles,
yeah.
Taking bad angles, wide open holes. That's what the Texans run defense looks like. So that's good for Damian Pierce, at least. And anybody that wants to take the over on Damian Pierce rushing yards.
Good advice, and anybody that owns Damian Pierce in fantasy, absolutely. All right, so Landry had an angle on this game yesterday, Seth, and I had not looked at the schedule for Week 3 yet, but this got me like 40% more excited for the game on Sunday between the Texans and the Bears. By the way, a game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610 at noon.
Shazam.
Yeah, the Texans are a small underdog in this game. They're 2.5-point underdogs.
Oh, the disrespect!
What it means is on a neutral field, the Texans are the better football team because you give 3 points for home field advantage. So
the slightest of actual respect.
Yeah, okay. No, but I like your disrespect angle. They're being disrespected because they're better than the Bears.
I'm slighted by your slight respect.
Yes.
That's what I say.
Exactly. So let's pretend that we're in a world where the Texans win the game on Sunday. I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world. They win the game on Sunday. Here is what the rest of the AFC South looks like this weekend. Mm-hmm. The Texans would be 1-1-1 after beating the Bears on Sunday. The Tennessee Titans, 0-2, play host to the Las Vegas Raiders. Tennessee is an underdog at home in Week 3. Without any injury issues that we didn't know about going into the season, you know, Harold Landry's out, but with that, just purely based on losing to the Giants and getting smoked by the Bills, the Titans, who were the number one seed in the AFC last year, are home underdogs to what I would say is an average at best Raider team. They're 0-2 also. They're 2.5-point underdogs at home to an 0-2 Raiders team.
Yeah. Taylor Lewan is, I believe that ankle injury he had is pretty serious.
So okay.
So there's one. Not enough to move the line in offensive line. Even no matter how successful your podcast is, an offensive lineman generally isn't going to move the line all that much.
Right.
So Taylor Lewan is that's a hit to them. So that's a good one. Boy, that was – Boy, they looked rough. Boy, yeah. They looked really bad this week.
Yes, it was awesome.
It was fun to watch.
It just
got throttled.
It was. We'll talk more about Vrabel when we hit our NFL head coach death pool segment. The other two games in the division, Kansas City is at Indianapolis. I think we know which direction that game should go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frank Reich, hot seat, eh?
Big time. Yeah, not exactly the opponent you want there. KC is a touchdown favorite at Indianapolis. And then Jacksonville is a touchdown underdog at the Chargers. So you've got two big underdogs and then Tennessee, who's playing horrible right now. If everything plays out where the Texans win on Sunday and those other three teams in the division lose, not the craziest parlay in the world, the Texans will be atop the AFC South at 1-1-1.
What did the Chargers?
First place, 3 weeks in.
Is there a home field advantage for the Chargers now? Have they swung that around?
That's
or
a
not?
Good question. The reason, for those who don't know, the reason Seth's asking that is because they share a stadium with the Rams, and they've basically, since they moved to L.A., been second-class citizens in their own city. I would hope so. You know, L.A. feels like kind of a bandwagon kind of town, I would think.
Yeah.
And you still got people that come up from San Diego to go to those games.
Yeah, and their paid attendance last year. Oh, this is – okay, this – this is going to drive me insane, Sean. The attendance figures. Last year, the eighth highest attended games were Los Angeles at 71,598. 10th highest was Los Angeles at 70,240.
They just put Los Angeles
in
there?
Yeah. No, they just go ahead. And the disrespect, Sean. The disrespect they show both the Los Angeles teams here by not even delineating which one they're talking about. I'll not have it. Damn it. What the hell?
Yeah.
Ah, come on. Damn it.
I'm going to guess the Rams were the one up top.
Yeah, but it's barely a difference.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that the Chargers, I didn't realize the Chargers had actually ended up selling so many. I don't think that as many people show up to the game.
Probably not.
But they've done a good job of selling tickets.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So that's what's at stake this weekend, Seth. First place in the AFC South for the Houston Texans. They can make it happen.
Okay. So if the AFC South ends up being abysmal this year, as it looks like it might be.
It's shaping up that way.
Unless maybe the Jaguars end up being good, you know. But it's looking pretty rough right this moment. If they end up being abysmal this year, but the Astros have a class, or the Texans have a classic, hey, we made the playoffs, but it's because they went 8-9 in the miserable AFC South. Will you feel good about this? I'm trying to put this in context of like celebrating winning the AL West, where it almost, some people feel it's almost beneath the Astros at this point to celebrate the AL West, for much different reasons, obviously. Would people feel like, okay, this is actually a good sign, even though it's a weak division, you actually won a weak division and you're building something here. I think it's all going to center on what Davis Mills is and how he played to get you to that 8-9 record.
Okay, bingo. I mean, Davis Mills is still the biggest story of the season. Regardless of record, Davis Mills is still the – because they're not winning the Super Bowl. So the biggest thing is finding a quarterback. That's the biggest thing. But your question was, how would we feel if they won the division? And I guess it would be 8-8-1 because they have that tie. So let's say they're plain Jane 500, 8-8-1 at the end of the year. To me at that point, Seth, the fact that they won the division is almost irrelevant. If they win eight games this year, I'm feeling really good about the direction of this team. Because look at the schedule. For them to win eight games the rest of the way, like it's gonna require them to get some fairly significant wins over some teams that are fairly highly thought of at this point. Look, they still have to play the whole AFC West at this point. Now, they still play five more games in the division, which could be five of the eight wins right there. And maybe we're feeling, you know, if the eight wins are the five division games, Washington, the Giants, and the Bears, how do we feel? But regardless, I think eight wins over any of those teams, I'm feeling really good about the direction. Absolutely.
Is one of our, I'm going to tell you something. This person texted the exact same text three times in the last 24 hours. And I feel like I actually responded to it yesterday, which tells me, I'm insulted by this disrespect. He says, when are we going to start questioning Pep Hamilton for the way the offense looks out there, the play calling in critical situations, not utilizing the weapons we have on the roster, like multiple tight ends and Nico Collins? Our offense looks so elementary compared to the rest of the league. As I answered this question like five times yesterday during the show, I think that right now, until Davis Mills stops missing wide open receivers until Davis Mills stops throwing the ball 5 yards above the heads of open receivers or on 50-50 balls. I'm not going to blame Pep Hamilton because Pep Hamilton has flat out gotten guys open. In the first week, OJ Howard has two touchdowns on the team. So I don't understand where the questioning of, like, why are they not using the tight ends? They got the ball to the guy that had been here for 10 days twice in the end zone in week one. Sometime after that strip sack, Davis Mills just started playing scared. And errantly, erratic, just not playing good football. So I'll gladly blame Pep Hamilton when Davis Mills starts actually doing the easy stuff right. And I think that any of the play calling issues right now are probably more of a reflection of Pep Hamilton not being sure what he has to work with Davis Mills.
Is it possible that that strip sack has shell-shocked him? Like, to the point, I know it's only been one full game,
yeah,
plus a quarter and a half, we'll call it, with fourth quarter and overtime of that game. But the difference between Davis Mills before that strip sack was dealing. He was 20 of 29 for over 200 yards with two touchdowns and no interception. He had a passer rating of like 113 in that game. And then since he got strip sacked, Seth, he is barely a practice squad quarterback for fourth quarter, overtime, and a full game in Denver.
Yeah, it's disturbing and alarming, except that, yeah, you do have to remember, okay, it's been two games. And as I told somebody last night on Twitter, because he told me, he said, Seth, open your eyes. You know what the deal is now. Look, fine. We have no choice but to be patient right now. Unless you've got a thing for Mitch Trubisky, unless you desperately want Marcus Mariota in here to see what he's got, you've got no choice but to be patient right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out whether Davis Mills can rebound from this, whether you think the story is done and over with and that's it. That's fine. But, I mean, he's the guy right now and they're going to roll with him. It's been two games. I think that through the first two and a half quarters of the season, he showed some promise. He made some really good tight window throws. He was throwing with timing and rhythm and anticipation. And then that strip sack happened, and then something changed. And, yeah, he's got to bounce out of that. So that's probably the big challenge for him right now. And honestly, it might be one of those situations where throwing a pick or two ultimately in the long run won't be a big deal. Or it could be a good thing, because right now he looks like he's scared to throw an interception.
Yeah, he does. Maybe that's part of the whole thing of sailing footballs 5 yards over everybody's head. I'm going to throw it where nobody can catch it. How do you like them apples? All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. A reminder, Talk Saves Lives. Join us here on Sports Radio 610 tonight, 8 to 10 p.m. for Odyssey's I'm Listening special. It's a conversation with athletes, celebrities, mental health professionals, your stories, all promoting mental health awareness across the nation. For more info, visit imlistening.org. Up next, we will dive into a status check on the NFL head coach's death pool. We got a nice long segment to do that. And there's still one national voice that is optimistic about Davis Mills. You will hear it next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.